And with that, we will move to our informational item 17, snowmobile season forecast.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Secretary Roebling, my name is Ryan Rayner. I'm the District Park Supervisor for, based out of Farm Island Recreation Area here in Pierre. Also have the pleasure of working with the statewide snowmobile program as well. So I'm here to talk to you today a little bit about the forecast, a little bit about what we do in maybe our shoulder seasons, which I really haven't talked about before, and then talk about some big projects that that we've got going on as well. So with that being said, first, to talk about our budget. We do have a $1.46 million budget. That budget really is established for two reasons: get us through our shoulder seasons and any of the expenses that we have there. But the biggest thing is that we're able to groom on both sides of the state when we have to maximize the grooming. So our grooming season starts December 15th and it ends March 31st. So that's on both sides of the state. It's paired up. So on the eastern side of the state, we try and groom once a week. But if we have the snow conditions in the Black Hills, we're able to groom those conditions, and that's what that authority gives us. The trails fund balance you see there, just over $712,000. That fund balance I've seen as high as $1.5 million, seen as low as $550,000, which was just a year ago. The biggest thing with this fund balance is that the program has always been supported by snowmobilers, period, end of story. No general funds have ever gone into that fund balance, no other funds. It's strictly been 100% efficient through snowmobile revenue. So, speaking of the revenue, I've got the three main sources of revenue here that we have. I've talked about this before. The resident $10 license. That is the $10 license that was implemented in the early 70s. And it's been $10 ever since. So truly remarkable. And it's a statistic or a fact that it's kind of hard to wrap your brain around. And we're still able to operate in today's world with those expenses. So I'll skip the non-resident thing. I'll get back to that here in a little bit. The excise tax, that was implemented, I believe, in 1986. That's where you buy a new or used snowmobile. Those proceeds go into the snowmobile program, that trails fund balance, whether you bought that snowmobile from a dealer or you bought that snowmobile just through personal sales. And then gas tax, similar to our boating program, we get gas tax revenue based on that formula, 125 gallons times the gas tax rate, which is 28 cents. And then times the number of registered sleds, we get that number July 1st from Department of Revenue. So again, all the history of the program, 50 plus years, non-residents do not have to pay for a non-resident permit to snowmobile in the state of South Dakota. They are offered reciprocity. And so if their sleds are legally licensed in their home state, they're allowed to legally ride in the state of South Dakota. They can purchase a five-day temporary permit. That's $40. That permit, residents or non-residents can buy. You know, residents, they buy their license from the county courthouse just so you register your vehicle or a trailer. If they happen to forget to go to the county courthouse before 5 o'clock, they want to go snowmobile, they can buy that five-day temporary permit as well. Non-residents have that option, but you're talking tens of thousands of dollars, $15,000, $20,000 max, that we get from revenue from that. So it's safer to say that, yes, we do not get much revenue from the non-resident community because of the reciprocity that they receive. The other big thing with the program is we meet quarterly with the governor-appointed Snowmobile Advisory Council. We meet four times a year, and during those meetings, we also meet with the South Dakota Snowmobile Association. I was taught this from day one when I was hired back in 2008, and Game Fish and Parks, the Advisory Council, the South Dakota Snowmobile Association, this is like a three-legged stool. And if one of those stools, legs is removed, the program won't be as successful. So we take that relationship very seriously. And our most recent meeting was in December, and we'll have another meeting with them in February. So next, I'll talk a little bit about the Black Hills operations. So the five FTE, we have five full-time staff based out of the Black Hills Trails office in Lead. They help groom, sign, and maintain that trail system out there. It's a huge operation, obviously. Not mentioned on there as far as full-time staff is also the COs that help patrol, educate, and make sure those trails stay safe as well. And then we hire 18 seasonal staff to perform the grooming operations, along with other operations that they get involved with, signing, maintaining the trails, that sort of thing, outside of just grooming. This is a 24/7 operation. I think that's probably pretty unique, certainly on the park side. I get to compare it when I work a weekend between Farm Island and West Bend. Typically, I get home about 1 in the morning, midnight, something like that, and then there's no other staff, no other operations, equipment being operated. That's not the case with the snowmobile program. So a basic grooming operation where we have good snow conditions is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We have a shift that goes out. That goes out from about 3:30. Till about midnight, and then they all get back to Hardy Camp, and then we have a second shift that goes out from about midnight till 10 a.m. That's what's required to groom the trail system out there. I think a lot of people like to compare the Black Hills to a lot of the West River riding opportunities, right? So in Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, you're talking elevations, you know, 10, 11,000 feet. We don't have that in the Black Hills, so people in those states, they'll use the trail to get to their off-trail riding destination. The majority of their time is spent off-trail. That is not the case in the Black Hills. People are coming to South Dakota, coming to the Black Hills to truly ride those trails. So we have a pretty, you know, again, you don't think of folks working still at 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning. That's what those folks are doing to make sure those trails are being safely groomed. Veterans Ride and Governor's Ride, I've talked about this event before. That picture in the top right-hand corner, that was our very first Veterans Ride. You see Connie Johnson there in front, and then Russ Chavez has kind of got the orange trim on his jacket there. Those folks are from the SDSU Veterans Affairs Office. We are hosting that event next Saturday it's the 7th annual. So looking forward to working with them. And then the Governor's Ride. This is an event hosted by SDSA, but of course we partner with SDSA and make sure that event goes smoothly. What's exciting this year for the first time is we're actually inviting landowners. Typically it's just dignitaries that are invited, legislators, but this year we're inviting a couple of landowners too to thank them for being on their property. We do have an agreement with the state of Wyoming. That's kind of a give-and-take agreement for both states, but it's a great agreement. We groom about 30 miles on the eastern or on the western side of South Dakota there into Wyoming. And then landowners, Black Hills National Forest Service, the trail system in the Black Hills, as you know, it doesn't exist the way it does in today's world without landowners. We have about 7 or 8 private land use agreements with the landowners out there. You know, we're able to honor those agreements with paying them for the trail on the property, and then typically the agreement also involves fixing fence and stuff like that. And then the Black Hills National Forest Service, the crew out of the Black Hills Trails Office does a fantastic job. There's 4 districts out there, right? And they all have different responsibilities. They all have different tendencies to when you put a trail on the ground out there. So Shannon does a great job working with those folks too. And so get over to the East River side of the state. So Shannon and the Black Hills staff kind of operate the Black Hills. I'm helping out when I can. I oversee typically the eastern side of the state through a grant and aid program. So local snowmobile clubs groom, sign, and maintain about 954 miles this season. They do that through a grant program. This grant program, grant and aid program, reimburses them for 7 specific categories: grooming, club insurance — they got to have liability insurance — and 5 other expenses as well within that grant. The grant typically costs between $120,000 to $130,000, but depending on snow conditions, can go up to about $200,000. And just like the relationship with the landowners on the Black Hills side, if we don't have the DOT right-of-way agreements on the eastern side of the state, that program doesn't exist. So we understand that's a privilege and not a right. And so I'm responsible for getting those agreements put together in the fall. So any questions before I move on about the Black Hills operations East River?
Questions? Commissioner White.
Commissioner White here. Have you had a chance to do a comparison of what our fees are compared to surrounding states around us?
Madam Chair, Commissioner White, over the years we've had comparisons before. Yes, I can promise you and assure you that just from a resident license standpoint, we're probably the lowest in the country. And again, we don't have a non-resident permit.
Yeah,
so,
I see that.
Yeah. So, yes, we are definitely, yeah, the fee to snowmobile in the state of South Dakota is one of the cheapest in the country, if not the cheapest.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Additional questions? Commissioner Teal.
Do you know, do those other states have similar excise tax situations on sleds?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Teal, so excise tax, no. I don't believe they do. Gas tax, resident license, non-resident license, those are typically the main fee structures for any snow belt state. The excise tax, I think, is pretty unique for the state of South Dakota.
Very good. Additional questions from the commission? Seeing none. Thank you, Brian. Okay. Yeah.
All right, so again, never really talked about our shoulder seasons. I won't mention every bullet point here, but you know, just like any program we have within the agency, we have a busy season and a shoulder season sometimes, and a little bit about our shoulder season. So on the eastern side of the state, some of these responsibilities do fall on myself, or they fall on the club members that I work with. Big one in the spring, remove signs from the right-of-way. That's part of the DOT agreements that we have. We are closing out the 24-25 grant and aid agreements in the spring. Again, that's after the season, March 31st. And then at the same time, I'm also sending out the 25-26 for the next year's grant and aid applications and funneling that. So it's a very busy spring. Close out the old grants, get them to submit the new grants before our May advisory council meeting. So go down to summer. Kind of the big one here really is host the May and August council meetings. These are big meetings with our advisory council where we do talk about the budget, we talk about the grants, talk about reroutes. This is where we get that valuable input here in Pierre from that advisory council and from that state association as well. Late summer, the last thing there in the summertime, the groomer and drag inspections, that's something that I go out and do. Visit all 14 clubs, visit all of our groomer equipment, the groomers, the drags, and all that stuff. And it really is that kind of first initial push to get the clubs excited again about the season to come and make sure our equipment's ready to roll. In the fall, of course, this is where things really ramp up. Again, the DOT right-of-way agreements, that's really one of the bigger ones for us on the eastern side of the state to make sure those applications are submitted and signed before we actually go out and put signs in the right-of-way. Trail signing and trail signing inspections, clubs put out the signs. I perform, along with some help from staff from the Watertown office, go out and perform those trail inspections. And then the last two that you see in the fall, I'll mention State Snowmobile Convention, which we host a council meeting there. Again, a lot of meetings with the State Association Board, our ability to catch up with them and make sure we're ready to roll for the beginning of the season. And then, of course, maps. We make a physical map, and we make sure we get that distributed as well. All the reroutes are put in there. We get that information to the communications team. And, of course, they move it forward. So a little bit about the shoulder season operations on the eastern side of the state. And I'll flip over to the Black Hills side. A lot more going on, obviously, in the Black Hills. So in the spring, when the season ends, the folks out in the Black Hills put a lot of amenities out, junction signs. Any junction you come up to on the Stumbleville Trail out in the Black Hills, you have a UR here map out there. So those have to be removed. Any barricades that needed to be placed up, and then warming shelters as well. So a lot of amenities that we can add as of December 1st before the season starts, and then we have a deadline from the Forest Service to get those removed as well. Of course, you're always looking at grooming equipment, and then the biggest thing in the spring, that meeting with the Black Hills National Forest Service and the timber industry, that's where Shannon learns a lot of information about not only how this season went with reroutes, and any changes that need to be made, but any new timber sales that may be coming up that we know we may have to find a reroute to accommodate that timber sale. And any reroute as well that may come from the National Forest Service as well. So that's probably the biggest one there. In the summer, again, not as much going on, but still some things we got to take care of here. The biggest thing there is probably twofold. Repair fence, per the agreements with the landowners. Again, that's where we spend a lot of time. Any damage from that fence, from snowmobiles being on their property, we want to make sure we get that fence fixed. And then, again, another meeting with the landowners and the Black Hills timber industry as well to discuss reroutes and so forth. Then in the fall, again, finalized trail reroutes with the Forest Service. Again, we're working with them, obviously, in creating the map. All of those amenities that we removed in the spring, they got to go back out there in the fall. And then, again, groomer orientation and training, that really is the kickoff. That's where they bring their seasonal staff in and provide those that orientation opportunity there as well. So any questions about kind of our shoulder seasons there?
Ryan, I just have a question for you.
Yeah.
How often do our, like our UTV trails and our snowmobile trails, are they shared?
Some are shared. We do try and minimize those because, of course, the damage that you get from a snowmobile is very minimal. Some of the damage that we see from OHVs is a lot different, obviously. So who has that? Who's responsible for that repair? You know, is it going to be the snowmobile program, or is it going to be the Forest Service, who obviously manages that that trail system? So we do have some, but we do try and keep it minimal. And the ones that we do have, Shannon's got a good working relationship with the staff, no matter what the district is out there, to figure out and get it cleaned up before we try and put a snowmobile trail on it.
Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast.
Yeah.
What kind of problems are you running into, or are you running into any problems with the amount of land that's being sold in the Black Hills and fractured? And a lot of that sold up there along Trail 2 and out up in that country, 6 and 8.
It has, Madam Chair, Commissioner Beast. I actually have a slide here coming up where I'm going to be talking about that exact subject, but because it is impacting the snowmobile trail system. So, now, if it's okay, I'll wait a few seconds and I can answer that.
Excellent. Thank you. Additional questions? Seeing none. Very good.
Okay, so last two slides here, big program projects we got going on with the snowmobile program. First one being the economic impact study, last performed in 2012. You can see there through the University of South Dakota, $132 million. You know, seems like maybe small, but when the program itself has a budget of $1.46 million, our revenue can be around, you know, 900,000, expenses 1.1, 1.2 million. The snowmobile program and snowmobiling in South Dakota has a huge financial impact in the state. Small communities on the eastern side of the state rely on those trail systems to come by there. And then, of course, the communities like Lee, Deadwood, we've got trails that go directly into there. They can ride on the snowmobile. So that's very rare across this country. And so those communities rely on that. So it's been a while, obviously over 10 years. Typically, we want to keep that within that 10-year window. So we look forward to trying to get with USD, the same gentleman that worked on that contract back in 2012. It's still there at USD. And so we've began discussions meeting with him to hopefully get another economic impact study completed next season. So that's one big project. Advertising, you know, snowmobiling, we've always kind of let the Black Hills advertise itself. That's really easy to do. But our resident license sales are down. I've seen it as high as like 15,000 registered sleds. We're happy if we can break 10,000 now. We've never done some sort of marketing advertising program, and we're just now in the beginning stages of really working through tourism, working through Black Hills Badlands tourism, and really trying to figure out a way to really campaign and advertise, not just snowmobiling in the Black Hills, but also statewide as well. The last real big thing that we did related to advertising the snowmobile program really was the same cameras that DOT uses to provide road condition reports on the roads. We started setting up those cameras on the trail system as well, get that information out there sooner. We do partner with DOT on the eastern side of the state as well to piggyback off of some of the cameras you see on the major highways. So this will be the first time in a few years that we really try and focus and tackle promoting the snowmobile trail system and the snowmobile program as well. So look forward to that. And then the future program challenges, as you talked about, the landscape is changing out there. And so, yes, we are very aware. So what we're seeing certainly impacting the snowmobile program is private property is being purchased where before it was still just going to be a summer home. So in the wintertime, when the Forest Service road closures go into effect, we're able to put that trail on that road that might have went by that private property. But that property wasn't being lived in the fall, winter months. They would leave. So two things are going on. Number one is that property is now being purchased for somebody to live in there year-round. And so when that happens, they now need that road plowed to access their year-round home. And by state statute, snowmobiles cannot be on a plowed road. We can cross the plowed road, we cannot operate on that plowed road. So then that forces us off of that closed road, and now we've got to find another way to get to possibly the community, to the business, to anything we're trying to get, just to keep the trail system looped. So that's challenge number one. The other challenge of private property is it is also being purchased to be developed. And a good example of that is certainly just driving past the lead office before you get to Recreational Springs Resort. So trail connectivity is vital. It's vital to the communities. I talked about that. We potentially have some permanent easements coming up here. We've got one for the snowmobile program that was purchased by Trailshead Lodge back in, I think it was 2009 or 10. And so because of the landscape changing, because of this private property being developed or wanting to be lived in year round, moving our trails in some locations is easy and other locations it's not. And so we lose access to that, community, to that business. And so that's a challenge right now that we're facing. So with that challenge, we are trying to figure out a lot of information that we've never really collected before, right? So just a couple of things here. Identify use patterns throughout the whole trail system and how much time is spent on specific trail segments. The number of miles an hour spent not only on specific trail segments, but within a day, a trip, the whole season that folks come out to ride a snowmobile out there. The number of miles an hour spent on the trails. How to better manage grooming schedules. Again, grooming schedules, I talked about that grooming schedule. It is a beast in that regard. It's late hours. And then diesel, those things don't get 20 miles of the gallon, right? So they're pulling a drag. They're spending a lot of money on diesel. So being able to better manage our grooming schedules with this data, we think is vital. How many commercial rentals and what percent of overall use we see with them. We have a great relationship with those dealers. They provide the 5-day temporary permits. They provide maps. Obviously, they provide gas. But we don't know a lot about their rentals and how much those are actually getting used on the trail system. And then lastly, and probably the most important, what is the volume and makeup of residents and non-residents? You know, residents, I know that we've got, let's say, 10,000 registered sleds, get that information, you know, annually. But not all of those folks ride in the Black Hills. And then the biggest one, again, since we have no non-resident permit, we have no idea how many non-residents are actually visiting the Black Hills and on that trail system. So to be able to justify potentially in the future to deal with the private land and moving trails and the connectivity and spend potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars of snowmobile funds on these permanent easements, we hope to get this data. We've recently just started working with Stephanie Buckley, our Humans Dimension Specialist, and she's really hit the ground running to really provide and explore some options that we can go down to collect this data, have that in front of us so we can make some really important decisions here in the near future, a big part because of that change out there. So does that answer your question? Yeah. So with that being said, that's all I had and would entertain anything else.
Very good. Any questions, comments? Commissioner Locken.
Just a comment. Fantastic report. Good job on it. Keep up the good work. I wish we could duplicate it on four-wheelers and, and side-by-sides and stuff, but I guess that's maybe not in the works.
Appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Yeah, additional comments from the commission. Great report. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
We will move on.